Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello. Welcome to the Weekend Dabblers podcast. Prepare to be dabbled indeed. Oh, that slaps every time I hear it. Can never get enough of that. But yes, welcome. Thank you for listening. I am your host, or one of your hosts, obviously, Justin. And this over here in front of me in virtual reality of the screendom, the glorious, magnificent
Sir Peter.
He's a knight. You didn't know that. If you, you might have, actually. I don't know.
You might have from the last one, yeah.
Was that the last episode or a couple episodes ago?
That's a good question. It's one of those.
It's been the last few episodes. He was knighted, obviously.
one of the past episodes, so anything, technically.
Yes. So, yes, but Peter, Sir Peter.
Sir Peter.
I peek the shit out of my mic. Damn it. Oh, immediately into that. Fuck.
Well, there it is.
Let's just let that happen. Right. Yes, peaks and stuff. Peaks, mountains, glory. But how are you, Peter? Sir Peter of the West.
I'm doing very well. I'm feeling, I'm feeling the most like royalty right now because boy howdy, we changed internets and I cannot okay. So we've had Spectrum for a while and I've been using Spectrum for where we currently live for a while. And then I've had Spectrum when I was living down in Texas as well. And it's okay internet. It's not the best. You get what you pay for, and they jack up the prices because they entice you with the, you could get, whatever internet for, 45, 50,
whatever
dollars.
Bundle it with TV and phone? Who the fuck wants to bundle it with phone, you idiot?
Right, exactly. In this day and age, come on.
$45 each, though. What?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, they do a lot of their bundles and everything like that. But then after that year, they start hiking up their prices to essentially double what you were paying.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll call and complain and be like, hey, what's up? I thought our bill was this. I'm like, no, actually in the fine print, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
So we've been customers of Spectrum for a while. And we, again, we just got tired of that kind of slowly creeping up of our internet bill. And so we decided to go with a competitor. And we went with AT&T.
Some would call it ATTA.
ATTA. So yes, we went with the AT&T. And obviously the packages that we had and what we got are completely different. So with Spectrum, we were getting the 300 or 400 megabytes. And with AT&T, we're getting the gigabyte, which is a lot, but it technically isn't really a gigabyte. It's just under, but it's fine. Essentially,
bonies.
It's just
big, fat bonies. Give me a gig
to
and
you.
Give it now.
I know,
want my
right?
gig and I want it now.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, instead of the 1,000 megabits per second, it's 900 or 920 or something like that.
Hogwash, Sue.
Oh, absolutely. but probably not. You probably won't win that. But
no, probably not.
But yeah, so it's close enough, and they like to round up to make it sound better. But yeah, so we're getting the gigabyte now, and it's $60 a month for us with HBO Max, and the download speeds, and more importantly, the upload speeds are insane. So obviously our download is the gigabyte, as close to that 900, 1000 mark as it can be. However, our upload speed, which really, really amazed me, went from 20 with Spectrum across the board. You'll always get 20.
I get 11.
Exactly. So depending on where you are and all that kind of stuff and packages and whatnot, I think they tend to cap out at 20-ish. AT&T, on the other hand, said, nah, man, let it fly. I'm getting I did a speed test and I'm getting 600 megabytes of upload.
That's just wild. That is so fast. The amount of time to do what your YouTube videos are 30 minutes or something, 45 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
And like they're getting done in like comparatively, probably before they were like, what, 20 minutes maybe? Like, did it take that long maybe to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
And now they're like, what, minutes? Like, a minute?
It's so night and day because, yeah, absolutely. Like you're saying, you know, it used to be I would upload or start the upload process and it would take like 10, 15, 20 minutes. But in that 10, 15 to 20 minutes, I would be doing, you know, setting up the title, setting up all the tags, going in and finding a picture to use for the thumbnail, making the thumbnail, putting it on, you know, YouTube, making sure I had the Twitter blast, the Facebook blast, all that kind of stuff. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm good. I've done all of my parts. And then YouTube is still like, hey, I still need to either work on this or just do the HD version. So you can kind of like, you're done, but it's still going to process the HD version. Whereas now it's like I throw a video, again, one of my 30 to an hour long video, and it's done before I can either get everything else finished. It is so night and day.
Before the blood can release from your boner because it's going so fast.
I have not tested it before. Like I did like an initial like on my phone, and Wi-Fi is something completely different. But
you did a boner test
on the Wi-Fi. I tested the internet speed on Wi-Fi on my phone, and it, you know, that's when I found out that I was getting higher than expected or higher than I expected upload speed. But on the phone, because it's Wi-Fi, it can't necessarily reach, you know, the 600, 800, all that kind of stuff. So it was only at like 190 something. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
190 upload on Wi-Fi. Like, what is that nonsense? The real question actually comes down to how can these other companies not do that? And if they can, why aren't they? Because AT&T is about to blow all your shits out of the water once they can get in different areas. Because that is wild. And you live in a pretty populated part of Columbus, but you're not in downtown Columbus. You're on the outskirts on the loop there. So it's just like, what? So if you're in a suburb of a bigger city, you shouldn't have a problem getting this. So like Spectrum, the hell? Come on. Like I live 20 minutes from downtown Cleveland. There should be no reason I can't do this.
Right, exactly. It's so bizarre. Like, I don't understand. And to be fair, like, yeah, I don't understand how Spectrum isn't looking at what its competitors are doing and being like, oh shit, we didn't match this.
Yeah.
Because look, I'm not sponsored by AT&T. I'm not, I wish I was, but like, I my phone isn't even on AT&T. My girlfriend's phone is on AT&T. Yep. And like, if they sponsored me, shit, yeah, I'd switch to AT&T. Like, just based on their internet alone, like, hell yeah, hook a brother up. So, like,
this podcast wished it was sponsored by AT&T.
Yes, this podcast wishes it was sponsored by a lot of things. But yeah, so I don't understand how as a company, you can't look at what your competitors are doing and either try to match or beat that.
I think they are looking at it. They just don't give a fuck because they're Spectrum and they're garbage.
Right.
Yes, I have your internet. Yes, I use it. Will I ever have your phone or your TV? Hell no, because who has TV anymore?
Right.
Come on, everyone streams everything. Stop pressuring people to try to buy it for only $45. Fuck yourself.
Right. $45 that jumps up to $80 that, you know, if you don't complain, will jump up to 100. If you don't complain, will jump up to 120.
Yeah, so life fact for anyone listening in the States that, hey, if you don't know how to do this, you should. After your year contract is up, whatever, you get that special pricing. If you aren't able to get awesome AT&T gig services, like this PTAR guy over here, then what you can do is take your year, you know, get your discounted rate, whatever, and then call. Make sure you have something else lined up because you need to be ballsy with this. You have to put your foot down and say, hey, this isn't happening, because you need to go out. Like, I was where we used to live. I didn't have a secondary option, but I made it seem like I did. I had a foot down, bam, used to work in customer service. So I know how to tweak other customer service representatives' buttons. But they, you go to them, call them, say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. You guys are way overpriced. I'm going to move to, in my case, it was like Verizon or something, had internet in my area that was pretty fast, if not as fast, if not faster, for less money. It's like, hey, they're charging this much for it. I'm obviously going to save, since I don't have a contract with you. I'm obviously going to save this, you know, 20, 30 bucks a month. So I'm going to leave. They're like, oh, hold on. Let us get us over to your, I can't remember what the department's called, but pretty much like cancel account department. There's a fancy word they have for it, but I can't remember what it is. And you talk to the person. They're usually pretty nice. And talk to them, hey, you know, this is what it is. I just want to let you guys know. I want to cancel my service. Where do I need to take this router if you have their router? And you explain, hey, Verizon, AT&T, whatever, has this for this much money. Typically do like $20 to $30 less. I would even drop another 10 bucks from what it actually is and just saying they're giving you a discounted rate. And then these guys get off the phone for five, maybe 10 minutes. Maybe they're assholes, make you hold for longer. They only need a minute and a half tops to ask someone right above them who are probably within chattable distance physically or over an actual chat on their internal servers. And just be like, hey, can I give this guy a discount? Yeah, sure. Cool. All right. Doop. Come back to you. Say, hey, yeah, we can get you this price for a year. Lock you in for a year. Cool. Thanks. Bye. And that's what you do. That's all it is. That's the name of the game. You know, if you want to cheat customer service representatives out of their stuff, that's what they get paid to do anyways. So that's what that guy's job is, to retain the customer and not let them leave. So definitely take advantage of that and save yourself a couple bucks. Never let them keep hiking your money up or hiking the bill up without some kind of, you know, recompense. So they're not improving service, especially, or anything like that. It's crazy.
Right, exactly. Look, these are companies that want your money, and they want as much money from you as they can possibly get. So if you're not doing any sort of pushback on them, they're just going to keep taking and taking and taking until, you know, you're at your breaking point. And honestly, what you should do is you stop trying to feel like you're doing a breakup. Like, stop personalizing, you know.
Everyone does that shit, and I just,
right,
just like, oh, I don't want to like hurt their feelings, bitch. They're billionaires, right? They don't care.
Yeah, this is some dude who's probably being outsourced to India or whatever.
Yeah, so that customer service, especially,
right, so that Spectrum can pay them, you know, five rupees an hour. Yes. Like, whatever it is, I don't know. I might have offended so many people, but
probably,
like,
a whole country.
I'm just using a metaphor, but yeah, like, they're
keep on being racistly metaphoric.
Right, exactly. My metaphors are always racist, apparently. Obviously, being from the South.
It's a rupee, not a rupee. Get it right, Peter.
Yes, a rupee. Sorry, a rupee. My bad. Let me correct that.
Rupee, as they pee on the rupees.
So yeah, like, they'll outsource it to pay as little as they can so they can keep as much profit as they can. You got to stop, you know, personalizing these companies. Mm-hmm. They're companies. That's the thing. Like, they're not a person under the law. Technically, they might be a person. For tax reasons, they are a person. But in actuality, they are not a person. They are...
In tax reasons, they are an entity. I wouldn't even call them a person. They're a taxable entity. That's the key thing.
If
it's a small business, though, you should probably be more personable with them. Because small businesses need your support. Like me, I'm a small business owner, voice actor. I need support.
Buy
my stuff now.
hire him for he's great.
Now. No, I'm just
hire
kidding.
Hire him now.
But no, like small business stuff, definitely make it personal and feel like it's a breakup, because that they're gonna most likely treat you the right way anyways. You know, I've never had a problem with any of my customers because I treat them like family. So why would I ever want to do that? Why would I not want them to feel like that way? Versus these companies that have a bajillion customers or whatever, they're pretty much one of the monopolies of you have like what, five? Four maybe internet choices, realistically probably three,
right,
on where you can actually get internet. I mean, AT&T, Spectrum, and then it's really, that's like one of the two big ones, and Verizon has internet, but a lot of areas, like, whatever, what's another big internet company?
I think there's like Charter, I think, is somewhere in like the Utah or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. I know there's also
Charter,
like,
I think Charter is Spectrum.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just another name for them. They have like, they used to be like, yeah, they used to be Charter, Time Warner, and I think they combined. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
I know they're like, then you dropped a whole level of slow internet in terms of like your HughesNet and Earthlink and all those that are just in your rural areas typically that are garbage internets. But if you're looking at high speed, you really only have a couple options. And they know that. That's why Spectrum does the thing they do. But apparently AT&T's up in the game, and I appreciate that. But for you, the customer, the consumer, don't hold loyalties to these bullshit brands like that, that are just going to be taking your money and don't care about you specifically. Go give your money somewhere else where you can save money, like save your money. So you can save that 20, 30 bucks, whatever it is. Like Peter pays less than me, and he has a fucking bajillion times more upload and download speed than I do.
Right.
But we can still do this. So that's all that matters. Yeah, I have enough for this. That's all I care about. That's all I need.
It's enough for like one night, you know, one day out of the week, every week, you know. It might push him into like his limits or whatever, but.
What an asshole. Push you to your internet limits. It's just like 200 megs on download speed. It's like, come on, that's way faster than anyone ever needs, unless you have your own server and shit, and then I understand. But like, for people, like, that's fast enough to game on multiple gaming systems at once. That's fast enough to do all this shit. But like the upload speed that you have, I was like, what do you need to upload that's that fast?
You like, honestly, like at this point with the uploads, all I need to do is just make some upgrades to my computer, and I am all set, man. Like my computer is like, oh gosh, like I think I made it in.
It's old though.
Oh, it's old. It's an i7-7700K, which is like, it's an Intel processor.
Yeah.
But it was before, it's essentially their seventh gen Intel iCore processors or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas like now they're in like their 11th gen.
Yeah.
So it's old.
Do you make it in Texas?
Yeah, I made it in Texas, so it was like 17 sometime.
Then. Graduated in 16, so.
Shit, yeah, we did. So yeah, 17. So yeah, it's been like four.
It's a long time for computer technology.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like, yeah, it doesn't sound when I said four years.
Oh my god, 4 whole years! Like, motherfucker, 4 years is a long time ago. All of our lives have changed dramatically in 4 years. Most of them, anyways.
Absolutely, it should if you're doing things right.
right is a questionable word.
Maybe on some circumstances, but yeah, like where I am today, 4 years. In 4 years versus where I was 4 years ago, night and day, completely different. Mm-hmm. Like I have been, you know, getting a little personal here, been moving in the right steps to better myself, my family, you know, and finances and all that kind of stuff. I'm just in a better position than I was 4 years ago.
And we're all proud of you, Peter. We're all proud of you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy and my mom.
Hey, ma'am.
And Roscoe.
Who's Roscoe?
Roscoe is one of my is a pet we had as our dog. That when my dad remarried, they ended up getting a couple dogs, Roscoe and Daisy, and he's a little small little like Pomeranian pug mix, and he got like the body of a pug, but like the everything else of a Pomeranian.
Weirdest thing ever. Face of a super pug?
No.
Okay.
Just like the body and the curly tail. So he's got like the palm hair and like the long
snoot
muzzle and all that kind of stuff. He is neurotic to no end.
About getting another dog. Weirdly off topic, but
Well, I mean, we're on topic now.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. Every topic or everywhere is on topic, really. I mean, we're a show of eclectic tastes, and mm-hmm. we go off. There's a path that we think we're on, but it branches so dramatically, and Justin seems to find candy on every step. Ooh, he's candy. And he gets lost on his journey. Try back at the road. It circles back around sooner or later, but one never knows where the road takes us.
Exactly.
Typically, it is my fault, usually. I know this. I had the conversation. Teresa actually listened to the episode because I told her to. She laughed. She thought it was hilarious. I'm like, ha ha.
Which one?
Like
the one where you called her a bitch?
Yes. I called her tear. Like,
all right, sorry. Now on principle, she's got to listen to this one.
I was like, what's up, Tyrion? It took me a second. She like said something about it to me, and I'm like, she said some type of Tyrion Lannister joke to me. And I'm like, wait a second. You listen to the podcast? And she's like, yeah, you told me to. I'm like, oh, I didn't think you'd listen. classic. But anyways, yeah, we're talking about, they're looking at possibly another dog. Do we have the money for it? No. But did we see the super cute one that needed rescue that this family no longer could take care of? Yes. Oh, man, my heart is so big. Same, like, pit bull, like a year and a half old or something like that. Looks just like Ronan for the most part. For those who don't know, Ronan is my wife and I's rescue. He is a pit bull mix, the pit head, everything else. We don't know what it is, but Brindle, very beautiful dog. All over my socials, no matter business or not, he is there. So check him out. But he is the cutest, bestest dog ever. But there's another one that had the same kind of Brindle color or like coating, I guess, but they're different colors, so the way it's spotted and stuff is different. But it looked super cute, and I was like, ah, oh, man, I want him so bad, but we probably shouldn't do it. But I really want to, because we can take care of dogs and we know how to train dogs and we're good at it. And it's like, still flipping the coin on that one possibly, but it'd be cool. And Brennan would love little brother.
Absolutely. I think if you have, I'm going to get a little on a soapbox here. So my vet experience is showing. So like, look, if you have the means to take care of a dog, do it. And that's fine. But make sure you're able to, you know, you understand what you're getting yourself into. Because when you get a dog, you know, if you get a puppy as a Christmas gift or something like that, or someone decides to give you a puppy as like a graduation gift or something like that, you know, that initial puppy might be free to you, but it is never free, because you have vaccines, you've got any sort of flea and tick prevention. God forbid, you know, you get into any sort of like dog fight. If there needs to be training, all of the food, there is so much cost that comes with owning a pet, especially dogs. Cats a little less, but
still, you still got vets. You still got your spade. You still got all that good stuff. Yeah, and you have to do it.
Exactly.
And Peter isn't talking to me, by the way, on the soapbox. He's talking to you, listener. I know how to treat a dog and what that comes with that, because we rescued ours off the side of the road and trained him very well, I do say. But
yes, Ronan is absolutely like a star in training. He is fantastic. He's great. They did a fantastic and wonderful job with him. I bet he is like the best dog to go to the vet for. As a person who has worked in the vet industry as a vet tech, I've seen a lot of dogs that are completely like, all of the owners are like, oh, he never does this, he's a baby, he's just this. Exactly. And they are just the worst and all that kind of stuff. So I get it. You want to assume that your pet is like the best thing ever, but in a vet setting, in a doctor setting, it is completely different. So look, acknowledge that you're, you know, tiny little chihuahua is an asshole.
It's so cute and amazing, but is he though? How many people have they tried to bite? How many?
Right, how everyone, many? Because he's a tiny little chihuahua. And no one
and
wants.
He's terrified
to...
of all of it. You know, that's what
exactly.
He is.
Yeah, exactly. They're terrified. They only know how to shit and shake, and that's it. Like that's shit, all they bark. Know. Shit, shake, bark. But yeah, obviously
don't ask space. It to shake and then it might shit in your hand.
Right, exactly. So spay neuter your pets regardless, rescue if you can, and just understand the cost of owning a pet.
Yes, you know, there's so much.
Absolutely. Because if a freak accident happens and your pet breaks a leg or something like that, or God forbid your neighbors decide to shoot your dog or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have the money and the resources and the time to be able to care for them after that. So
more than just a pet. It's a part of the family. It's a child.
Exactly.
It's a child beater.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get on that soapbox. I like it. I like the soapbox.
Yeah.
is that a derby? Soapbox derby? Is that a thing, right?
I think a soapbox derby, yes.
They build cars and race them down hills or something like that?
Right.
Because soap actually used to come in boxes, so they take that box and turn it into... I don't know. I'm making shit up now. But back to the original topic of fuck corporations.
Yeah, seriously.
Fuck Jeff Bezos.
Fuck Jeff Bezos, man.
His penis
fuck
rocket.
Fuck him and his Dr. Evil ass rocket, you know?
Was Dr. Evil's rocket a penis?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
His rocket was probably a penis, and I think his satellite
was
a pair of tits.
Yep. Totally was. Two big booster balls. Yep. Wow. And we lived in... Wow, yep, real life. That happened in real life too. Huh.
Jeff, my man, you're Mr. Evil. Dr. Evil.
Doctor Evil.
He's a doctor. He's a doctor of evil.
Go freeze yourself, please.
Yeah. So Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon and what's this company? Blue Orbit or whatever?
Blue Rocket, Blue Orbit, something like that, yeah.
Blue Origin.
Yeah. Blue pill. Yeah, he is Viagra. His Viagra penis rocket. That's why he did it. Wow.
Right.
Man, he loves... His head even looks like a dick. So it's like all of it. Why is everything just so penis-y for him?
Dude, he's hitting it on all cylinders. He knows exactly
what he wants. His head's a penis.
His
rocket's a penis. All of his managers are dicks.
Right. So... Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, owner of Blue Orbit, owner of who knows however many other things, decided that he was going to go up into space. Because what else do you do when you're worth $80 billion plus dollars? You know, $180 billion. He got divorced. The wife took half his money and he still made back his money. That's how insanely rich he is.
Yep.
So what else does a man like that do? Start a company and go to space, of course. Of course.
Obviously. That's the first thing everyone would do, Peter. God, you're an idiot for not thinking that.
Right? Like, fuck me for thinking of like the times when, you know, millionaires and billionaires would, you know, put money back into their communities and, you know, make, you know, a theater or a museum or something, give back, you know, fuck that. I just want to make a rocket ship so I can go to space, or enough of space to be considered an astronaut or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think he's that. See, I don't know if he can constitute himself as an astronaut. Like, yeah, he might've left orbit, but I don't know. What's the definition of an astronaut? Do you have to train? You have to train to be an astronaut, right? Like, you can't just buy your way to be an astronaut?
I think technically, like, if you work for NASA or some sort of space program. Yeah.
It's a person trained, equipped, and deployed by a human spaceflight program.
Yeah. So I think because...
It's trained to travel.
He fits some of those. And I think there's a line that he has to cross. And I forget what it's called. It's like a Kepler line or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The definition, though, he is trained to travel. He's not trained to travel. He just bought it. He just bought his flight. That's like buying a ticket first class, you know? It's the same thing, but it's in space. Not an astronaut, just a penis rocketeer.
Yeah. Okay. So the Edge of Space is the Karman line. So once you pass that line, technically through the, what is it, Federal Aviation Admission, you're like in space, technically. But that's like 62 miles above sea level, I guess. I don't know. You had to be up in the air 62 miles.
Yeah. Then it that it covers that line to get out of the actual atmosphere kind of thing, or suborbital right. space type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And there's this whole debacle of like whatever that other billionaire, the Virgin Galactic or whatever.
Virgin Mobile.
Right. They do a plane which goes up and just kind of like touches at like 50 miles or something like that. And then it comes back down and gives you that like sense of weightlessness.
Yeah.
Kind
of
thing. Like if you've seen that, like where the plane just kind of drifts up and down between like the limits of gravity for us. And so it gives us that, you know, floaty sensation. So they kind of just do that. And there's that other billionaire who was like, I did it first before Bezos. And then Bezos was like, I'm going to shoot a rocket with myself and four other people in it and actually cross that line.
With two other friends and then some person who bought a ticket. We don't know. It's going to be really weird.
Right, exactly. So him, his brother, the oldest astronaut or something like that, or someone who was old, and because he went up with them,
okay,
ended up being like the oldest astronaut. And then the fourth ticket was essentially auctioned off for no other reason other than I want more money.
Very nice. Whole thing is just a big debacle of ridiculousness. Like the amount of money it took to build that rocket, you know, over the years. Cool, whatever. I mean, you already don't pay taxes, so you might as well make that tax money you would be giving to the government and the U.S. you know, country itself. Give that right. to your penis rocket build. But so all that is diverted there. But then also the audacity to, after you land, kind of thing, to thank all the your workers and customers for paying for that. You think what you're trying to do, but it's not coming across that way at all, because you're Lex Luthor, but you look stupid comparatively. you're not a cool Lex Luthor, unfortunately. So it's just like it's unfortunate that just that someone that horrible could be that way, you know, robot man.
Right. Yeah, like I think I understand what he was trying to go for. Like, obviously, he was trying to say along the lines of like, thank you to everyone who made this possible kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, being
but saying like you paid for this. That's like, fuck you, man. Like, hey, thanks for all the people who helped make this happen. That would be cut that. Cool. No one's real mad about it. But like coming out and then laughing about it immediately, like you have that sentence like, thank you for my employees and my customers for paying for this, and laughing about it, getting the rest of the crowd or whatever to half-ass chuckle as well. But just like, then it's like, it's such a joke now that you're exploiting your employees, and a lot of them have to pit, and like if they work on a warehouse, at least have to piss in water bottles and shit. You can't go to the bathroom because your guidelines are so strict. You're not letting them unionize. So you're firing them if they even attempt to unionize and that kind of thing. Just fucking wild. And the audacity is just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's unfortunate. Amazon is such a weird, weird dichotomy, because you have people who work there who will say it is the absolute worst thing ever, and they do all these terrible things, but then you'll have people who are like, they kind of blow it out of proportion.
Yeah.
So and it creates this kind of like, well, which one do you believe? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that it's all negative, or do you believe that, you know, there's something in there? But at the end of the day, you know, it's Jeff Bezos. He's making his money. And yeah, obviously he wanted to say along the lines of what I said, you know, thank you for everyone for making this possible. But yeah, instead decided to say the first things that came out of his mouth, you know, from his mind were you all paid for this. Kind of, you know, rubs everyone the wrong way.
Oh yeah. Shows you his true humanity. The level right. lack thereof, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. He's gotten so rich that he is no longer a human being anymore.
Yeah. Just like forgot how to be one and be somewhat humble or something. I don't know, but just like,
yeah.
Yeah, you could have said anything else. Like that was just so bad the way you said it and just gross
right.
and disgusting. It's like you're
yeah. And then to say that like we can fix all of our pollution problems and like our waste problem by like shoving it all into space. Like
that was his was that during that same interview? Like that he said that?
Yeah, I think it was, but definitely later, because everyone kind of like jumped on to the, oh my God, he's saying like everyone paid for this kind of stuff. So everyone, they grabbed that. And then later on, he said, you know, the pollution stuff. And so now we've got both of those and now we can digest both of those.
Yay, digestion. I love it. But I don't know. I don't know the whole, unfortunately, the full scope of that part of the conversation. But like if you're sending all your physical waste to space, gravity does a whole thing where it like comes back down and, you know, it's going to burn and then off put gas from that burning, so you're not really helping anything. Probably don't. I'm not a climate, you know, professional of sorts, but I imagine burning plastics and shit like that, even at extreme high temperatures where there might not be that much like smoke that comes off necessarily, still something comes out of it, because all energy is not, no energy is ever destroyed, right? So right. It's just one of those things where it'll probably still in some manner go into the greenhouse gas and cause issues with global warming and all the climate change that is the climate crisis we're living. I mean, all of the Western United States is feeling that right now pretty bad. So it's happening now, unfortunately, so I don't think that's going to fix anything. Plus, you had to build all those rockets to send all the trash to space. So that's going to blow up the, you know, the industry of what you're, the manufacturing and things of that sort. So that's just not a way to win it, you know, I don't think. So there's somehow right. a better way to do that. Sure, maybe one day we'll figure out a better thing for non, you know, or trash like plastic and that kind of shit that we made and didn't realize it was going to pollute the entire world. But one day, but it's not going to be now, unfortunately.
Yeah. So yeah, his quote that, you know, we've been obviously taking out of context, his full quote was, not taking out of context,
word for word,
word for word, that's exactly what he said. So actually what he said is, we need to take all heavy industry, all polluting industry, and move it into space and keep Earth as this beautiful gem of a planet that it is. So I think, one, again, it's something that's going to be very hard, very difficult to even do.
So he's saying move like actual like physical businesses, like the actual manufacturing itself, into space.
Possibly, because yeah, that's all he says. Like, you know, we need to take all heavy industry, polluting industry, and move it into space so that we can keep Earth just pretty.
Huh. Okay.
And like, yeah, so I don't know.
Maybe, you know, Amazon will be space delivery instead, and then he can just move to space and blow up. No.
Right, yeah.
Not really, but I don't know. Like, that's, I understand the quote, so that's just like, maybe it's above my head, I guess. I'm not smart. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot to, you can interpretate it. Wow. Interpret.
We're intelligent on our podcast here. Yes. Interpretate. It's like a turpentine, but not
exactly. So there's a lot of ways that you can interpret that. Like, obviously some people are saying that, like, he wants to take all of our trash and our waste that we make from everything that we do today, everything from, like, the waste from plastics, the waste from literally making your little cup of ramen noodles, the waste from, you know, if you bought a new washing machine or some other sort of thing, like all that waste, and just shooting it up into space. That's one interpretation of it. The other could be, you know, like you were saying, maybe possibly putting these actual businesses on the, you know, out in space to limit, like, I don't know.
That sounds, like, so stupid.
Right, exactly. And for a lot of reasons, it just doesn't make sense. So yeah, I don't know what he was thinking other than, like, shoot our junk into space.
I love shooting my junk into space. He shot his junk into space. It was a penis rocket.
He did. He really did. He really believed in it.
His truth. That was his truth right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't quite get the premise of that. I mean, he's living in 2432, maybe, like, ridiculous years from now, where I mean, you could have a whole world of people in space, possibly. I don't know, a couple hundred years at that, or we're all dead, one or the other, but you never know. So, you know, with all the movies and everything else you see, space life is a thing that happens in those, but those are obviously not real. So actually doing it versus seeing it in a movie is a little harder to do. So I don't know. But Lex Luthor, I mean, Jeff Bezos could totally do it. If anyone can, I'm sure he could. He could exploit some type of worker to go do it. He'll still make billions with it, and we will just have people making whatever small wages they do and peeing in bottles.
Yeah, who knows? The next Amazon warehouse is going to be on the moon, and they're going to orbital drop all of your packages to you. So that's the next,
like,
big airdrop plan for them.
Like Call of Duty, it's like,
right, exactly. That's the next phase of Amazon. Until after that, then it's going to be the Amazon floating colony center or something like that. Who knows?
Hey, but maybe next thing after that, Olympics in space.
Yeah, seriously, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and the Olympics just started as of this listening to this podcast, not recording it, but listening to it. It has started on the 23rd.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Do love me some Olympics. Don't know if I'll be able to watch them. I don't have NBC Sports, but we'll see what happens. I'll try to figure it out. But do love the Olympic Games. They were, of course, canceled last year and moved on to this year, happening in Japan.
Tokyo,
Japan. Mm-hmm. And the Olympic athletes are sleeping on cardboard. Go.
Yeah, apparently so. So obviously, just to get this out of the way, USA, obviously.
USA.
Right. So now that we know that who we're rooting for,
we're not biased at all.
Oh no, of course America. Not. So yeah, so before there had been, you know, stories of the Japanese government giving the condoms to the athletes for not having sex during the Olympics, just kind of like a symbolic, like, hey, HIV.
Yes. That's actually what it was for, but yes.
Right.
It is every Olympics is actually what it's for. They do that everywhere. But still.
Yes. But still, like, it was taken, like, to a context of, like, hey, don't fuck, but here are these condoms. So don't fuck.
Don't fuck.
So that was a story before. And then now
that was step one in their plan, of course.
Yes. Step one. Send the condoms out. Well, step one, no sex. Step two, send the condoms. Step
tell
three,
them again, no sex.
No sex. And then now we're on to their phase four, which is the beds are cardboard.
Bam. Don't talk about Avengers phase four or Marvel phase four. We're talking about Japan's plan to stop sex phase four.
Right, exactly. I don't care about your WandaVision. I don't care about your Loki series.
Winter Soldier. I'm watching that right now. It is pretty good. Weird segue, but
very weird segue. But yeah, so we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about the Tokyo Olympics phase four.
Cardboard sex.
Cardboard bed.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
Yes, cardboard sex.
They're gonna get paper cuts are real.
They're gonna get cardboard cutouts of everyone, and just there
that's
you
what
go.
You can fuck. There you go. You got condoms on for protection, so you don't burn yourself too bad while you're fucking
right.
this cardboard.
So here's the thing: the cardboard beds are kind of twofold, unfortunately. So the beds are made of cardboard, like the framing of them, but it's not like a cardboard that
box.
You traditionally
you
yeah like
that.
A
yeah.
box where it's real flimsy, like it's not the Amazon boxes that you just like do whatever with. No, it's like actually
oh,
legit, you know, industrial strength cardboard.
Yes. Like they make people, they make beds out of like beds are sold. They're cheap, typically cheaper, but a lot of beds are sold and they're cardboard beds. They're like $300 on like a Mattress Firm or something. You could buy wherever.
Right. So they're actually like meant to support, you know, people. Now, I don't know if they're meant to support two people or more, or if one person is slamming into another person, or if one person
violent speeds
pushing into someone else for repeated, you know, excess amount of time. Like I'm not too sure, but they are supportive enough to hold the weight of some of people. And I think there's actually like either a TikTok or a YouTube or something where like an Olympic gymnast was standing on one of those cardboard beds and was like, hey, this ain't flimsy shit, and started jumping on the bed. Now, to be fair, from the video, it kind of looked like he weighed like probably 160 pounds, which is like not a whole lot because he's a gymnast. So like probably wasn't the best way to showcase that. Like I would believe it. This is kind of like the Tempur-Pedic kind of commercials.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I would believe it if they got one of, you know, like the shot put or the discus or like a power lifter and put him on that cardboard bed and then had him jump and it didn't collapse. I would believe that a lot more. But yeah, so the cardboard beds, sure, you can, in this story of no sex that Japan is trying to sell, it sure, it fits. But in actuality, it's probably because it's a cardboard bed. Because the bed is cardboard, it can be recycled easily.
Yes. That makes a lot more sense because we all know how wasteful the Olympics are, especially when they build
yes.
all this crazy shit. And it's just like, it's actually like, so it's not the bed, it like, or I guess we should clarify whether it's like the mattress isn't necessarily made of cardboard. Like, doesn't
right.
have that. And it's the frame underneath it that it is made of cardboard, like a thick, heavier cardboard. There are actually like, mattresses that have like a pillow top and the bottom is like a cardboard structure base too. They make that's a real thing too. These are actually just cardboard frames and then a normal whatever mattress on top. They do say that they claim to support 450 pounds. So that kid or that guy jumping, like he was like 160 pounds or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. So that kind of checks out in a way, you know, him jumping up and
yeah.
down to do that. You know, yeah, getting two of these, let's call them Olympic throwers, you know, like not weightlifters and not necessarily like there's no sumo or anything in the Olympics.
Right.
But Olympic throwers are large people. And say like, I mean, they're all, even the women are like around 6 foot and pretty big girls. They're big women. They're doing work on that field, freaking throwing shot put, discus, whatever else. And having two, you know, 300-pound people just, if they happen to not be married and feel accustomed, say, hey, you're from Czechoslovakia. Cool. I'm from Germany. Let's fuck. whatever. If there was a weird, like, old war thing there that I didn't know about, I apologize. But if your countries don't like each other, I don't know that, and I am an ignorant American. But first two things that popped in my head. But yeah, like, hey, check you out. Hey, check me out. Cool. Let's do it on this bed. That's when you probably just take the mattress and put it on the floor.
Right.
Probably shouldn't have sex with the two, you know, too close to 200 to 300 pounders getting at it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I didn't know how much, you know, the cardboard frame could withstand. You know, obviously I didn't expect the mattress itself to be cardboard, but which is saying cardboard bed, you know, it comes to mind like you're just sleeping on cardboard.
Sheets of cardboard. Just like you folded it over your cardboard twice and you're just laying on Amazon boxes. Fuck you,
right.
Jeff Bezos.
Right. But yeah, so yeah, it's the frame itself is made of cardboard, yes. And that's easily recyclable. But yeah, if they're rated for 400 pounds, obviously that gymnast is not going to do anything to it. Yeah. And then, yes, obviously, if you get Olympic throwers and they want to throw down in the bedroom, obviously, the right thing to do for their cardboard bed frames is to take the mattress out and put it on the floor, or just do it on the floor, you know?
You know, rug burn and stuff. You don't necessarily want that, but
right, like maybe put a blanket down, some pillows, like
a soft, a fort, a sex fort.
Ooh. Right, maybe put
new
like
new date idea. Maybe
new date idea.
Got
it.
Blanket fort, sex fort.
Welcome to my sex fort.
My sex fort.
Admission, you.
What's your favorite number? 69.
Six these nines. Yeah. So yeah, I think like obviously taking it to the floor, if you know, obviously if it's past capacity, just do it standing, go to a couch, literally
bathroom, whatever, you know.
You can fornicate anywhere.
You can fuck anywhere. Have your sexy time wherever you want to.
Right.
You're okay with us.
Yeah. If the beds are made of cardboard, right, yes, consensual, of course. If the bed frames are made of cardboard and you're worried about that, then don't fuck on the cardboard frames.
Or do, because it's a story when they break. Like,
yes, exactly. How'd you break your bed? Aw, dude, I was fucking like... Just in general.
I was just fucking myself. I was masturbating a lot.
Gratuitously.
Violent hip thrust into myself. Into my cardboard cutout. My own cardboard cutout. I was fucking myself. It was a weird time. My roommate did not enjoy it. They watched the entire time.
Oh, man.
Well, speaking of sex in the Olympics, or sexiness in some manner, the Norway handball team, handball is a sport, not a funny thing to talk about sex with. I definitely didn't just find out handball is a sport. Yep.
There's a lot of those odd sports.
Hey, weird names. Right. Like, that's a weird. I mean, you know, it's a mixture of like soccer and what the hell is it? It's a really weird sport. It's like soccer and tennis or some shit. It's just soccer and volleyball or something. It's like it's a really weird mixture of sports, but it's a full thing and it's in the Olympics, so it's popular most likely in Europe. So I'm not going to say not stereotype that, but a lot of sports are popular in Europe are not popular in America. So you know, your cricket, your soccer to an extent, really. Yes. Your handball, so racquetball, all that good stuff. Yeah. But the Norway women's handball team were actually fined 150 euros each. So that came out to 175 bucks in US per member. So each member were fined because they wouldn't wear the bottoms of their uniform that the Olympics said, hey, you need to wear this. Now, you might think, okay, what are the bottoms? Like, are they skirts or what maybe it'd be? Well, the bottoms are more like you'd see in beach volleyball, where they're like a very tight, small bikini that like as forcibly rides up your ass kind of thing. And it just came to the question of like, why were they fined for not wearing that? They just wore Spanx or normal compression short bottoms, like they're nothing wrong. And they still wore their sports bra looking top. Where the men's side just wears shorts and a tank top. Like, that's all they have to wear on their side. Why were they fined for that? Like, why is that a mandatory requirement that these women have to wear these very revealing uniforms specifically? It's just like, I don't know when that was exactly that we decided. Men decided, because let's be honest, women probably did not decide that, that men decided that, you know, women's sports, they're not that popular. So what we need to do, even if they were or they weren't, doesn't matter at that point, men are stupid. what we need to do is we need to make them look hot so we can watch them, or, you know, sexify it, or bring it some type of sex into it. You know, it's a, or exploitation, really. That's what it is. But it's just like so fucking weird that that was a, it's a man. They're looking at it now. They're re-looking at it. But apparently Norway's been fighting this rule. They don't do it like when they have their own season in their country. They don't mandate that you have to wear these bikinis and stuff. You can if you want to, but you don't have to, which is totally fine. That's an okay rule, I think. Like if you want to, cool, but you don't have to. And but then these, they've been fighting it for like 6 years, like saying, hey, IOC, the International Olympic Committee, hey, we don't like these uniforms. We don't want to wear them because they make us, they reveal too much of us. And people in social media nowadays, like if we don't have the perfect body or whatever, people make fun of us and it's annoying and it's horrible because people are horrible. But they still haven't overturned it. They never said anything. They just now are starting to look into it. Even after being fined, the IOC was like, oh, I don't know why, but yeah, you're fine still because it's a rule, but I don't, we don't know why, like it's a rule still. It's like, what? I'm so confused.
Right.
Yeah, horrible to have to like to sexify everything like that.
Yes. I think that that is a vestige of a past time of, you know, we're past that time in which you can do that kind of stuff with the whole, there's like a whole new women's movement, the Me Too movement, with social media, everything is, you know, criticized to good and to bad. So yeah, I think the fact that like this, I don't deny that the fact that at some point this rule existed, because obviously it did, they were able to be fined for it. But yeah, the reasoning behind why such a rule existed was, you know, to, like you said, you know, sexify the sport to get more interest in it. And I think that's, you know, it obviously the old adage of sex sells is a thing. You know, obviously we saw that with within like the music industry with boy bands, with literally with,
I want to look at boys.
Well, because it's not only right.
I love Backstreet Boy when I grew up. Like I can't say that I didn't grow up on Backstreet Boys.
Right. But like a lot of their fans, you know, a lot of the fans of music, especially, you know, boy bands, girl bands, I don't know. But
there,
like
there were a few, you know. You just need to buy DLC, which weirdly enough, Spice Girls, you know, the thing.
Spice Girls, yes. But yeah, like, you know, all of the boy bands, Britney Spears, you know, a lot of like a lot of the artists, musical artists, they tend to either be like scantily clad in a lot of their music videos, because within that industry, that's what works. That's what sells, you know. Britney Spears fans, albeit some, you know, it's probably a good mix of men and women, you know, probably the men are initially interested because, hey, it's a hot looking woman, you know, whereas like for women, if, you know, we're talking about boy bands, you know, they might get into it not only because, you know, the music and all that kind of stuff, you know, same with the guys, but then, yeah, obviously, oh, Justin Timberlake was the hottest one or whatever. Like, you always have this thought, you know, you're trying to reach the most demographic. So sex is just one of those things. If you can, you know, entice someone visually, that's a good hook. Now, being the fact that we're in 2021 and we're seeing a lot of, you know, the backlash on like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be viewing all of this stuff in these ways. Because you look at Billie Eilish, like she was traditionally just wearing, you know, really baggy clothes. You know, she didn't walk out to like the Grammys or whatever and like a super tight fitting dress or whatever. Mm-hmm. She just wore whatever was comfortable, you know, for her, which was like a hoodie and like some pants. It's not like she was wearing anything that like contoured to her body and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, thankfully, because she was like 16 when like her first thing came out. So I'm like,
oh. Right, exactly. There's an age thing that gets weird with it, yes. Too. But like, yeah, there's a whole lot of this industry that really just preys on like the sexualization of not only women, but like men too, because you see it in, you know, whatever Maroon 5, you know, like being shirtless all the time, you know, it's there whenever you're oogling Jason Momoa, and I know he's not in like it's in everything like entertainment, Hollywood. It's there. If it's meant to be entertaining, there is some form of like sexy somewhere.
Give me some Aquaman. Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I think it's definitely something that obviously existed for its time. But I think now should probably be overturned because there's, especially for Olympics, yeah. Like it's you're not celebrating the individual athletes like when you sexify them.
Mm-hmm.
You're really defeating the purpose of the Olympics, which is to celebrate the athletes.
Yes.
So then
represent your country, let them celebrate the athletes, let them do what they do, and then if they win, hell yeah, even better.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And that's what it should be, you know, cut dry, you know, print, whatever. Like it shouldn't be about, hey, let's put all of the female athletes in bikinis and all of, you know, the male athletes in Speedos, mm-hmm. because that's what's sexy, you know?
Sexy.
Like, no.
There like comes to a turn, like, I don't know. I think though, in our argument that was, I think, related to it was something like that a longer short or something to an extent was that, or the shorter shorts or like the bikini bottoms or whatever for the handball team specifically was that like it helps their performance. Like, does it though? Does it? The bikini bottom versus doing like a, you know, if you want to, you know, wear a compression short of some sort, does that truly affect like your performance in that positive way? Because this bikini bottom is riding up your ass, giving you a wedgie probably is like somehow giving you better performance. I doubt it. So like that was right. A weird like comment that occurred on like one of the interviews about it. It's yeah. Like what? As long as like I feel like for any uniform in a sport, you know, it should be male or female. You should be able to do the same thing to the extent of maybe like it's a weird thing, but like have women have to cover their breasts or whatever, because it's like that's just a whole different conversation really. But
right.
It would be pretty much the same thing across the board, unless men have the shirts off, then women would be wearing a bikini top. But if that's accepted, you know, uniform, cool, you know. But then if it's a, hey, if this the guys over here are just wearing, you know, shorts and a tank top, the girls should be able to do the same thing. Why not? And then, but as long as it's not increasing performance, like there's some swimsuits back in, what was that, 2008? I think Michael Phelps was part of that, maybe 2004. I don't know, but I think 2008 sounds right. But there are these swimsuits that specifically actually made them, they're like hydrophobic or something. It was really weird the way the makeup of them were, and they actually made them faster. It was like proven to make them faster in the water. And it was all like a one-piece suit. The guys wore the one-piece and everything too. So it was just like a whole thing that made them faster. So after that, they said, hey, you can't use those anymore because these are like a performance-enhancing drug pretty much, but they're a part of your uniform. So they canceled those. But as long as it's not doing something like that, I feel like it shouldn't matter what you're wearing, as long as it's relatively in line with what everyone else is wearing, and male or female at that point. That's my opinion on it, I guess I would say.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Like most of the uniforms for these sports like should be unisex unless they can't be. Mm-hmm. So like obviously you can't unisex you can to a degree, like swimming. So obviously, in college, I was friends with a lot of swimmers, and they would, before like meets, they would like, I know this sounds weird, but if you're in the swimming community, it's probably just like completely normal. They would shave everything everywhere, mm-hmm. like the day before.
You get as hairy as you can until the final meet that you need to be, and then you shave it all off to get better water dynamics.
Right, exactly. And for them, it makes sense. So yeah, obviously, if whatever is the most dynamic that you can wear, you know, something that's not going to impede, you know, slow you down, anything like that, obviously that makes sense. You know, but for everything else, you know, if it's a unisex leotard, fucking do it. Like, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter. You know, it's not like me bawling out on the court in a kilt is gonna translate to me being a better basketball player.
But like, if you have the option to wear a bikini bottom, you should be able to do it too, Peter.
Right.
If
yeah.
If men want to wear bikini bottoms, they totally should be able to as well. Is it weird? Yeah, a little bit. But
yeah.
if the sport calls for it, they should be able to have the option to wear it. I mean, like swimming, obviously they do pretty much.
Right.
You know, it's a speedo of some sort. Even in, I don't know if beach volleyball does for men or not. I think some guys do, but some don't. I'm not sure. But that's the only yeah. one I can think would be comparable kind of to it. But if, like, say this handball thing, you know, for example, if the men would have the option, hey, these are the sets that we have. Here's the dynamic range of uniform that you can wear. It's either you wear this, you have these compression shorts and tank top, or compression shorts and a sports bra, or just swimmed up top, and then, or you can wear your bikini bottoms. You know, guys or girls, wear bikini bottoms, that's fine. You know, would it be a very weird sport to watch with a whole bunch of dudes just wearing banana hammocks playing handball? Yeah, but would it be entertaining? Probably also yes.
Yeah,
so why not let it happen? That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. In this day and age where, you know, men are, you know, trying to destigmatize like what they can wear, mm-hmm. you know, with men just wearing dresses, you know, that kind of stuff, and women wearing like suits and all that kind of stuff, and those are very gender specific, you know, clothings, but yeah. obviously, you know, women in the workforce have been wearing suits, yada yada yada, I get it, but like it's the point of like both sides are trying to destigmatize and be allowed to wear whatever they want to wear. Mm-hmm. So if a dude wants to, you know, power lift whatever in a speedo, in that Borat speedo, let him. I don't care. It's gonna be entertaining as hell.
Thankfully, the Olympic lifts are all just a singlet. Like they're yes. across the board. They're even. Yeah, powerlifting's not in the Olympics. I don't think it ever will be, but that's a different discussion. Right. Olympic lifting wise, though, they're all singlets. Thankfully, they are universal. Yes. They're not a deeper singlet. It is there's an inches game they play there, but they are just singlets. Thankfully, but if he wants to wear a Borat on his own time, go for it.
Right? Yeah. Like if I want to ball out with my balls out, you know, let me
down the middle. Just let it go. Just like, I'll swing around and hit people in the face during my dunking.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I think it's a bullshit, you know, rule that needs to change. I think honestly they probably should reverse the fines, but you know, it's the what is it? The International Olympic Committee.
It was actually the European Handball Federation. So it wasn't the IOC. I got that wrong.
Okay.
It was the overseeing body that oversees all of European handball.
Okay.
So it's not even just like an international issue at that point. But they still have the same rules, I think. But they brought it up with the European specific federation. So it's like like joining the NFL pretty much and saying like, hey, I don't want to wear these small pants or whatever, you know, these tight pants anymore.
these cleats hurt my feet.
Yes, I want to be barefoot, please. No, you cannot.
No, you're an idiot.
We already give you a rule of not wearing pads inside your pants. You don't have to do that anymore, but
right,
you need to wear cleats.
you're going to want cleats. So yeah, I think, it's a bullshit rule with whatever ruling body it is. And it should probably be, like I was saying, overturned. The fine should go back, like all this kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just get with the times.
Yeah. You know?
Get with the times.
Man, speaking of times, man, it's been a pretty good sode so far.
But yeah.
I do think it's a good time to wrap it up there and, you know, finish things off. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Hour 10, something like that. So it's a good something. It's a good thick sode, you know. Don't want to use all of our time. We'll give you another sode next week before we run out of time.
Yeah. We could just go on and on.
Oh, we got shit lined up for days.
I got notes and notes. Notes.
I got tabs and tabs. I got acid spraying scorpions. You shit don't know.
I got PB&Js in the NBA.
We got PBJ all day. I love PB&Js. I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. But,
next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Yes. next week on the Weekend Dabblers.
Next week on the Weekend Dabblers. Peter goes Super Saiyan. And he's knighted. Oh, my God. But oh, thank you. you have a lot to live up to now. But thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Weekend Dabblers, episode 13, I believe. You can follow us at Weekend Dabblers on Twitter. That is really the only social media we have at the moment. News, or hey, if you want to shoot us an email, theweekenddabblers@gmail.com is our email handle. We are happy to have, you know, we're always looking for guest possibility and or topics to discuss. Happy to do some research on topics I don't know about. So if someone wants to, you know, shoot us out and say, hey, what's up? I want you to talk about the French Revolution. I don't know, France guy, whatever you want, or girl, whatever you want to talk about. We'll talk about it. We'll bring it up and see what happens. But otherwise, we'll try to stay as relevant as we can and have fun with it, along with bringing up our own soapboxes to sit on or stand on or fuck on or fuck cardboard fuck. I don't know.
The cardboard soapbox of
fucking. Of fucking, yes.
Of fucking, yes.
Of fucking. It's a new D&D item. But yeah, so follow. Yeah, all of our links will be below. Check us out in the descriptions for all of our personal links if you want to check us out. But otherwise, I think we're good. And the almighty words of that beautiful little possum.